Praise God. Well, good morning, church.
Good
morning, saints. How's everyone doing this morning? Awesome, awesome. Wide awake, I like that. Welcome to Healing School, House on the Rock Church, Ypsilanti, Michigan. Praise God. He's here in power.
Amen.
God is awesome in this place. This is Healing School, and I expect a heightened sense of anticipation as we go on this morning, okay?
Yes.
Everyone who's here, alert, set in the Holy Ghost, in the Holy Spirit, ready to receive. We use the word expectant. This morning, I just want to use a different term. Let's anticipate the move of power. Hallelujah. Can we believe for that this morning? Praise God. Praise God. I'm going to open this up with a word of prayer. Let's have that overriding consciousness that God is here. Father, I just thank you for this time. I just give you praise, Lord, for your word, which is quick and active, which is powerful, so powerful, Lord, which I believe strongly is going to ring out in power, that the hearts here this morning will receive, and that there will be manifestation of healing of that which is ours already, of that which is rightfully ours, in a greater dimension, this morning, this hour, this time, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, even for tangible workings of the miraculous. I just give you praise, Lord. Give this time to you. I say, have your way, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Wow, so I just closed my eyes there. All that just kept popping up was just the miraculous. Miraculous. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Wow. Can I speak? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You don't leave this place the same way you came. What's that condition? What's that situation that's negative, that doesn't accord with godliness, that doesn't accord with the new life that's on the inside of you? Just drops off. By the power of God, by the power of the Most High. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right. As led of God, this morning I'm going to share briefly on something that has helped me remarkably in my walk with Him and my healing journey. I titled this morning, Laying Hold on the Good Life. Laying hold on the good life. By the good life this morning, friends, I'm not speaking about having a big, fat bank account that's attended by so many zeros. I'm not speaking about having a private jet, a fleet of cars, cruising around the world, paid for trips and flights to exotic destinations with the wind blowing your hair backwards on the beach somewhere, your arms folded behind your head, feeling cool with yourself. On some yacht somewhere with so many servants attending to your every need. That's not the good life of which I'm speaking this morning. By the good life, I'm making reference to a specific genus of life, a specific species of life that we get to look into and find out concerning this morning. Life that has such a huge bearing on your walk here as a Christian, that has a huge bearing on you making a success of things as far as getting to see healings manifest in your life, in your body, in your heart, in your mind, and to see yourself walking as the healed of God. Life that has imprint on you as a person, that has an impact on your life, that has import on you as a person, on your walk here in this life. That's in our Bible's book of 1 Timothy in chapter 6, verse 12. Good passage, goodly passage, popular passage of scripture. Understanding of this life is crucial. Appreciation for it, recognition of it, is vital in your walk and my walk as a Christian. I'll just take the first portion of that. It says, fight the good fight. Let's pause. Fight the good fight. Paul told Timothy, fight the good fight. And that word fight, from the original Greek, is what that paints the picture of a contest. First, to enter a contest. As it were, a contest, contending in gymnastic games, as it were. First idea. By the way, when I speak here about the Greek originals, and when I make reference to the Greek and Hebrew, my source, things that should not be strange to us as students of God's word, ardent students of God's word. For example, the Strong's exhaustive concordance of the Bible, the Vine's expository dictionary, things of that nature, as far as where that's gleaned from. Second definition, to contend with adversaries. As it were, fight. Now that's a common definition that a lot of Christians run with. A lot of believers can relate to easily. And so the conception in their hearts and their minds is, okay, as it relates to my healing, as it concerns my healing, fighting with the devil. And here, fight the good fight. Fighting with the devil as it concerns my cure, or a cure with respect to a condition or situation that ails me, the picture is contending with principalities and powers. As it concerns walking in healing and divine health, slugging it out with the rulers of the darkness of this world. But I've got news for you. News that we ought to know and be established in as our present truth. Someone already went through that battle. Someone already won that war. That's the sense, that's the picture I'm painting this morning. Colossians, for example, in chapter 2, verse 15. Colossians in chapter 2, verse 15. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made, that is Jesus, made a public spectacle of them, or an open show, our version says, of them, triumphing over them in it. And if that sounds vague somewhat, today I'm going to be sharing and reading some passages from the Amplified. Because I believe strongly that this just rams this home, brings it clearly to the fore. Colossians in chapter 2, verse 15. When he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, those supernatural forces of evil operating against us, he made a public example of them, exhibiting them as captives in his triumphal procession. Having triumphed over them through the cross. That's the it in there, through the cross. The self-same cross by which we received salvation, the self-same cross by which we gained deliverance, which we've obtained safety, have preservation, God's protection, prosperity. Self-same cross by which we obtained our healing. He triumphed over them, principalities and powers in it. Where does that place you as a believer? What does that make you? Victorious, triumphant. Praise God. That's why, just a few verses earlier, Colossians in chapter 1, verse 13. Concerning you, Colossians 1:13, he has delivered you from the power of darkness. Why? Because they were already disarmed concerning you. Disarmed concerning you. Having delivered you from the power of darkness and translated you or conveyed you into the kingdom of the Son of his love. You changed nativity. Your kingdom changed as a person. The power of the kingdom to which you now, where you now live, where you now dwell, outshines, outlasts, outpasses the kingdom of darkness. You've been set in a new plane. Seated in Christ Jesus. So, when Paul spoke there, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, when it says, fight the good fight, it is important, friends, and I want us to relate this carefully and as a matter of course, it's important to know that the good fight is defined in there. It's what? The good fight of what? Of faith. Someone say faith. Faith. It's the good fight of faith. It concerns faith. It relates to faith. It implicates faith. It's concerning faith. It touches faith. Because so many emphasize the fight. Fighting. Oh wow, I don't even want to cloud you with where I come from, how this goes. Fighting the enemy. Spiritual machine guns and chairs flying all over the room and things just, you know, you got to duke it out. It's not that kind of battle or fight. It concerns faith. And so many look into this passage and see the fight and nothing else. Look into your Bibles. What is this fight of faith? Some see it as fight the good fight of faith, one hand. There's something that comes after that I think is vital, that I think is crucial, and which is what I'm going to dwell on this morning. It says what? Lay hold on eternal life. Lay hold on eternal life. So it kind of, if you want to take a different perspective, I think so. What I want to share this morning is just moving off of the general consensus of a battle to seeing this good fight as relating to, as concerning laying hold on eternal life. That's the good fight under consideration this morning. Laying hold on the good life. Laying hold on eternal life. To lay hold on, from the original, from the Greek, means to lay hold of. It means to take possession of. It means to have a grip on, a grasp of, a hold of. What is this eternal life? How do we get a hold on it? And what effect does this have on healing and walking in divine health? John, in chapter 5, verse 26. The life of which I speak this morning, friends, is life in the absolute sense, is life as God has it, which is what eternal life means. It means the life of God. It means life as God has it. John in chapter 5, verse 26, it says, "For as the Father has life in himself, so has he given the Son to have life in himself." And guess what, friends? There's a dynamic flow in there. God has life in himself. He's given the Son to have life in himself. And guess what? The Son also had the remit to do what? To give this life. John 5, 24, just two verses before. Jesus speaking, "Whoever, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my words and believes him," believes in him who what? "Who sent me," who has sent me, "possesses now," or has now, "eternal life. And shall not come into judgment, for he has passed over from death into life." This is the word Z-O-E in the Greek. Whether you call it Zoe, however you want to put it. This is a principle of life that is so awesome, so special, so unique. Supernaturally spiritual, spiritually supernatural life. Life of God that you've now received. You have. It sets you apart, places you on a different plane here in this life. I don't read 1 John chapter 5 from verse 11 through 13 quickly from the Amplified. Amplified? You have the Amplified?
"And the testimony is this: God has given us..."
Is that on?
"God has given us eternal life. We already possess it. And this life is in his Son, resulting in our spiritual completeness and eternal companionship with him. He who has the Son, by accepting him as Lord and Savior, has the life that is eternal. He who does not have the Son of God, by personal faith, does not have the life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, which represents all that Jesus Christ is and does, so that you will know with settled and absolute knowledge that you already have eternal life."
Hallelujah. that you may know with settled and absolute knowledge that you what already have eternal life, which means the life of which I speak is present, actual possession of the believer. This is not something you gain. This is not something you gain or get to possess in the sweet by and by. This is not something that becomes yours after seemingly you kick the bucket. Or you drop. Or you pass on. Or whatever phraseology we want to utilize in that, it is not an afterthought, aftermath. It is something you possess when? Now. And I'm saying this morning, friends, this life has an impact and an imprint on your person.
Yes.
On your life, on your body.
Yes.
Do you know that you have eternal life? Do you know what that means? Do you know that you are a possessor of the life of God? Did you hear me say that?
Yes.
A thought on John 17. Quick thought. Let me try and, I want to drive this home more. It's important, friends, and that's the remedy he's given me today. God has given me to share this morning. And I'm not going to shy away from it. I'm not going to run away from it. John 17. John in chapter 17. You have something.
Amen.
You have something. John 17, from verse 1. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. Verse 2, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. Give eternal life. That was his remit. That was his purpose. That was the commandment he puts in other places that he got from the Father to pass this life on to you for a reason, for a purpose, for cause.
Yes, yes, amen.
Verse 3. And this is eternal life, that they may know him, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And so it is said that eternal life is knowing God. And I'm taking that a step further, a little further this morning, especially from verse 2. You have to take it in tandem together, friends. Eternal life as knowing God doesn't just speak of some sort of head knowledge, some sort of mind contemplation or spurious thinking or some contemplation, just trying to know God as it were in isolation, as some sort of subject, as some sort of person, as some sort of thing. Not in isolation in that way. The knowing God speaks first and foremost of partaking of the same nature. Knowing him on the level of the spiritual first. When you accepted Jesus, when you heard the gospel, when you heard the good news relating to salvation, something happened to you when you believed, when you exercised faith in that in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, in that finished work, something happened to you.
Amen.
You received something.
Yes.
I'm talking about on the level of partake of a level of kinship with the Father of spirits. 1 Corinthians 6:17. When this took hold in my heart and got a grip in there, I was just like, oh wow. I'm not ordinary. How do you see yourself? In relation to that thing that may ail you, that disease, that symptom, that infirmity, how do you see yourself? It says, he that is joined to the Lord is what? Is one spirit.
Yes.
Yes. A connection that, wow. You can't draw a line. You can't sever it. Why? Because he gave you his life.
Yes.
A partaker of the divine nature. The DNA of God, the divine nature of Abba. Yours as a son of the Most High, as a daughter of the Most High. The good fight of faith is to lay hold on eternal life. Not only to contemplate it, but to understand it, to appreciate it, to recognize what it is and where it is. It's on the inside. Eternal life is within. How many know that? Help me to describe this, Lord. That self same moment. When you believe that self same moment, when you believe the gospel, when you believe the good news, the good report concerning Christ, you are saved. That self same moment when you received this eternal life is the self same moment that you were healed.
That's right.
That you were healed.
Yes.
Receiving this life is the self same process. Time frame, if you can put it that way, I'm speaking loosely now, when you received your healing. And this life on the inside of you, as you walk the walk here on earth, as you continue your journey, as you traverse the face of this earth, in whatever walk of life you find yourself, this life on the inside of you has an imprint, has an impact, has an impingement upon every facet of your life, in driving you, in motivating you, in healing you, in causing you to prosper, in causing you to just escape death in numerous ways. If I were to call every one of you up here this morning to share something of safety, of protection, of preservation, from what would be seeming death, I know you all have a story to tell. How conscious are you of the divine at work on the inside of you? This nature, this life that sets you apart. How conscious are you of this life that is prime in causing for the manifestation of your healing here and now? Laying hold on this good life speaks about having conviction. Amen. Of that which is yours now. Friends, if you don't know, then it's going to be difficult for you to experience the effects in your life, or not to see victory upon victory upon victory in a more, I was going to say, okay, forget that word. In, how do I describe this now? Grammar. More often, it becomes a part of your life. It's just constant. It's just free flowing. I'm just walking in healing left, right, center. Things are trying to come on and they're dropping off like ripe cherries. Why? I know who is on the inside. I know what I possess. I know who I am in him. I know who he is in me. It can't stay. That cancer can't stay. That growth can't stay. That symptom doesn't belong. That sign, that pain, that ankle problem, that hip problem, that toe issue. Yes, I can say it. That breast cancer doesn't belong. Prostate issues. Done away with. If only you can grab a hold, a grasp of that invisible seed on the inside. The life of God. I promise you, friends, your life will remain the same as far as in your walk. Conviction. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It has an impact, friends, on you seeing manifestation in different ways. I want to give an example. I'm going to give one from the Word, and then hopefully, if time permits, I'll share one other one personal, which you all know, but I'll still talk about it anyway. Because my name is still Shion Yali. Hallelujah. Praise God. Listen up. Do we turn? Yes, Lord. Let's turn. 2 Corinthians 11. I want to share something from a man who had a grasp, who had a hold on eternal life. And we get to see how this life drove him in so many ways. And how I've been in scripture, I've spent time in the Word, and I've seen how that in his walk, how that this life had an impact so in such a way that there was wave upon wave of healing manifestation in his life. And I have no doubt about it. And we ought not to either. 2 Corinthians in chapter 11. Oh, praise God forevermore. I love you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I just love you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 2 Corinthians in chapter 11. From verse 22, the man Paul speaking. Oh, wow. I might have to just buzz through this. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they a seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. All right, here goes. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. In prisons, more frequently. In deaths, often. Did you see that? Let's go on. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. That is 5 times he was beaten. 39 stripes. 5 times. And if you know history at all, you know that those stripes and whips and beatings were not ordinary. They're not what we see today. You can't discipline. Don't let me go there. I was about to say, so you can't discipline. I'm not going to go there before they. Oh, he disciplines children. Okay, he doesn't discipline children. So, next verse. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Acts chapter 16. Don't turn. I'm just buzzing through. Acts 16. For preaching, for healing. The next thing was arrested and beaten with rods on his bare back. Bare back. You can check it out. Beaten with rods. And once he was beaten, cast into jail. And guess what? This man was so moved, driven by eternal life on the inside. What he knew to do, Bible says at midnight he did what? Started singing and praising God. With that amount of injury done his person, his body. And before long, power of God moved. He preached. He shared the gospel. And then later on, his wounds were just washed off clean. But the point is, he was so driven. Acts 14. Let's read on. Before 14, it says, was beaten. And then, where was I? 3 times I received, I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Acts 14, stoned. For preaching, for healing. They stoned him. to such an extent that they dragged his body out of the city and left him for dead. That was how beaten, battered, and bruised, stoned he was. And then when the disciples gathered around, Bible, I love a version that describes that. He miraculously stood up after being stoned. And guess what? He didn't escape through the back door. He went back, straight back into the city, the selfsame city where he was just stoned. And continued preaching. Healing manifestation. Plenteous in his life. And he could go on and on and on. I could read on. In fastings often, in travails, in perils of one countrymen, in perils of robbers, that is attacks. So many things suffered by him. That his, as it were, body went through. Little wonder, towards the end of it all, 2 Timothy 4:7. You see, he didn't just tell Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:12 to fight the good fight of faith in abstraction. In isolation, just fight the good fight of faith. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. I have fought the good fight.
Yes.
He laid hold. He had a hold on eternal life. Had conviction. This drove him. This motivated him. I'm using the word conviction. What does that mean? Where does that come from? Hebrews in chapter 11, verse 1. Popular passage we know so well. Faith, remember it's the good fight of faith, correct?
Yeah, yeah.
Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things what? Not seen. Popular. I like a different rendition that delves into the original Greek, original languages. Several versions have this. I want to share this morning. It says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. The assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. English Standard Version, New American Standard, different versions have it as that. Faith as an assurance. Faith as conviction. From the Amplified Classic, it says, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. So that as it concerns your healing, hear this, if you like, take it as a sidebar. So that as it concerns your healing, even if, notice my words, even if you do not yet, notice my words, please, see that manifestation, see that occurrence, tangible, in your body, it does not, by any shade or stretch of the imagination, remove from the strength of conviction that you have relating to the finished work of the cross and the effect of that cross in bringing you, in having given you your healing in Christ Jesus. It does not cause it to fade. It does not cause it to abate. It does not cause it to diminish in any way, shape, or form. Are there things I'm believing for? Yes. And while I'm believing, I'm standing, rejoicing, praising, thanking God.
Yes.
Knowing who I am, the healed of the Lord. It can't be negotiated. Let me put it this way. You can't tell me different. I don't care who you are. I don't care what your name is. You cannot. And that's why I'm saying this morning, do not let situations, do not let circumstances, do not let reports, do not let results, do not let advertisement, do not let medics, do not let any phenomena tell you different. I am healed. The way I put it, friends, I'm sorry, I might just get lost. Someone talked about a trap door. I'm not going to go down just yet. Praise God. The way I put it, friends, the way where I've come to in my heart, and we're going to talk about the how-to right now in 2 minutes. I'm going to bust that as well. The way I put it is very simple. On the sands of time, it is too late for the enemy, for any human being, for any situation or circumstance to tell me different. Yes. I am healed.
Yes.
Can that be your conviction?
Yes.
Can that be what you hold as reality, because it is? Can that be your truth? Can you lay hold on this life, this good life, this eternal life, and watch your situation and circumstances change forever? How do you lay hold? We saw faith from Hebrews 11. Because it's a good fight of faith, right? I love verse 3. I'll just take a quick portion. I'm not going to go in there. It says, by faith we what? We understand. I'll pause it there. Understanding. How? It's at the level of what? The heart. You must understand the reality to which you've been called. You're not grabbing, laying hold with your hands, physical. You're not grabbing hold with your feet. You're not grabbing hold with anything physical. You, as far as tangible, you're grabbing hold, laying hold with what? With your heart. Speaking about a conviction here. Firmly held belief that cannot be shaken. It's with your heart. And it's about understanding. Psalm 49 verse 3. How does it come? It comes by the word. How does this conviction come? How does this drive? How does this consciousness come? Understanding this indestructible life on the inside. My mouth shall speak wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall give understanding. Question: what is the meditation of your heart? What are the things you're meditating on? What are the things you're giving attention to? What are the things you're following after? What are the things you're chasing after? What are the things that seem real to you? What are the things that are of prime importance to you? Does that relate to the spiritual? Does that relate to understanding who you are in Christ and who you've been made, what you've been made, and the position you now occupy? Is that what drives you? Or are you driven by stuff? Which inadvertently affects your emotions, affects your thinking, your contemplation, and it then becomes evident in the walk, in our lives. Because we're majoring on the minor. We're getting bogged down by things that don't count in the final analysis. Instead of understanding this life. Do not let those things hinder your conviction. Do not let negative reports as it relates to your health knock you down. Psalm 119, 130. Will the prayer ministers come? As well as the musician, praise God. Prayer team, would you come? The entrance of your words. Give light. It gives understanding. Understanding. God's word. Can't depart from God's word. Let it be the meditation of your heart all the day long. God's word. So that you see a portrait of who you are. What he has deposited on the inside of you. What you carry. It's not just highfalutin stuff. It's not just stuff out there. It is indestructible stuff on the inside of you. And I'm saying this morning, it has an impact on healing, and you seeing manifestation of healing in your walk here on this earth. Carry this consciousness. Carry this drive. It's by God's word. I was going to share a personal testimony, but I don't need to go there this morning. We're out of time. what Hebrews chapter 7 verse 16 rang through in my heart, Hebrews 7 16, and it continues to do so. And I've had made that a sinister, I've made that a prime peace part of my life. Not after the power of a carnal commandment, but by the power of an endless life. This endless life is on the inside. Saved me in numerous ways, diverse manners. And it saves you too. Are you aware? Delivers you too. Situations, circumstances. Heals you abundantly. And we walk with this conviction. Let's rise. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You're here this morning and there's something you're battling with. I'm not so much concerned about what name or tag, nomenclature or thing attached to it, what it's called. But I see death and finality to that thing dropping off you completely, irrevocably. And for agreement, I'd love for you to just make your way forward boldly this morning. Don't be shy. Don't be trepidated. Don't be in trepidation. Don't be bashful. Just boldly make your way forward this morning. I can promise you rejoicing will be your lot and portion. Rejoicing will be your lot and portion. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I just thank you for this time, for the truth of your word, for impact, even as by your spirit. Thank you, Lord, for change, effortless change in the lives of every individual here gathered. Thank you, Father, for healing manifestation of healing made sure, tangible in this place this morning. I just give you praise even for testimony of that result, Father. Thank you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your power at work mightily. Give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Back in time for the service at 10:45. Please make your way forward and receive agreement. Hallelujah.